This is Christoph Kassoun, and you're listening to Navigating Diversity, where we explore how human beings differ, yet can find ways to relate to one another in an increasingly xenophobic socio-political climate. Welcome to Season 3. Yes, you heard that right, Season 3. We've aired over 25 episodes of Navigating Diversity since we started as a 10-minute segment about 2 years ago. So thank you so much to all our listeners and all our guests who have stuck with us on our journey so far. Navigating Diversity airs on Tuesday nights at 7:30 p.m. on KISU, and you can catch all our conversations at kisu.org/programs/navigatingdiversity. Navigating Diversity is all about growth, shedding over time to take on new forms that are more closely in alignment with our bigger purpose. So let's set some intentions for this next chapter. My intention is to have conversations that help people navigate some of the most important issues of diversity we are facing globally today, but in a way that isn't afraid to ask some of the big questions, the big, sometimes heavy questions, that can bring some of the light and hope into the conversation and help give all of this and all of our lives meaning. A core Navigating Diversity value has become recognizing the duality in all things, holding space for both the light and the dark, our differences and our similarities, the things that scare us and the things that make us feel whole, for neither can exist without the other. Another core value has become vulnerability, finding more and more conscious ways to stand in my truth and help others to stand in theirs, and to share their stories and the most authentic parts of themselves with the rest of humanity as the only way to heal ourselves and heal the world. And lastly, perhaps our most important core value going forward is this: get comfortable with being uncomfortable. It's the only way for us to grow and to do better. It could not be more fitting that we get to kick off this next chapter today with Emma Watts, Idaho State University freshman who this year co-authored the book Mind Matters, a comprehensive mental health guide for students, teachers, counselors, and all academic professionals amid the COVID-19 pandemic. Hi, Emma.
Hi, Christoph. Thank you so much for having me. I really find this material super insightful and enjoyable to listen to, and I'm honored to speak alongside amazing people like Paulette Jordan, Dr. Kurt Anderson, and Alma Jam, who I'm close with, all of them. So I'm looking forward to our conversation.
Wow, that means a lot. Thank you so much. And, you know, again, for just being willing to try something out with me. This is all kind of new territory for so many of us. And I admire your whole spirit and your whole energy. And I think the world has a lot of benefit from what you have to say.
Thank you so much.
So I guess we can start at the bottom because I don't really know you. I saw the press release come out about Mind Matters, and I was telling you, I immediately felt this thing inside me that was like, I need to tell her story and get to know her better as a person. So I understand you're a Pocatello native.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yep, I was born and raised in Pocatello. I went to Green Acres Elementary School, Franklin Middle School, and I'm a graduate, 2020 graduate from Century High School, and now I'm at ISU.
Did you always know you were going to go to ISU, or how did that happen?
So I kind of knew just because it was super close to home. It provided really good scholarship. I was fortunate enough to get some financial aid as well. And so being close to home and being economically secure was really important to me. And they also have really good programs. So I'm really happy with my decision with ISU.
And you are majoring in?
So I'm double majoring in biochemistry and political mm-hmm. science right now.
Oh, exciting. Political science. Yes. That's my, yes.
So I really want to work at the intersection of both science and politics and government because those are like my two passions. So bringing like more science to policymaking would be ideal for me. And that's my current trajectory right now, but we'll see what happens.
And I think that's very important work. You know, we have to start having both of these conversations at the same time because there's a mm-hmm. massive rift between science and politics right now. So
definitely.
Wow.
Yeah.
So tell me a little bit about how you grew up. What was it like?
I basically grew up as an only child.
Okay.
I grew up with my grandparents, so I was kind of quiet around the house, which gave me a lot of time to learn and grow. I spent my time doing piano or volleyball or just,
Nice, a
yeah.
good mix of the arts and the sports. I always find it very interesting when I get to meet people who are only children because I grew up in a big family. I'm the youngest of five.
Oh,
So
wow.
I was never really alone for like the majority of my childhood. Everything I did, every meal I shared, even the bed I slept in until I was very late into my teenage years, I shared with my brother. Yeah, it's just so interesting how we can have such different backgrounds, but still kind of end up in the same place and end up having the same a conversation together right now.
Yeah, and have the same interests too.
Absolutely. So let's talk a bit about how you got involved with this project of Mind Matters. How did it start? And what's the story there?
Yeah, so in the beginning, my friend Preeti, who is from North Dakota, she received a summer fellowship through Princeton's Bogle Fellowship Program. And her initial intent with this was to provide comprehensive mental health curriculum in her state of North Dakota. But then COVID hit and she reached out to me because she knew how important mental health was to me. And she was like, "Do you want to help me with this?" And so we brought in our perspective and I was like, "Yes, I want to help. Let's conduct interviews from all 50 states and kind of provide a mental health guidebook to everyone in the midst of COVID-19." And then from there, she recruited Eric, who is our graphic designer, and he did a phenomenal job with this.
Was it that the opportunity came and you felt like I needed to do this? Or was this kind of something you've been thinking about this year that you felt like you wanted to do something for mental health?
Yeah, so COVID-19 has definitely disrupted everyone's lives, both personal as well as professional. And that definitely plays a role into our mental health and especially mine, you know, being at school basically 24/7. It was my whole life to being at home and doing classes kind of online, kind of not, for the end of the year was a big transition for me. I didn't know that I wanted to take on a mental health project, but I knew it was something very critical for 2020.
I totally agree with you. I think, even just like BetterHelp, right? They're recruiting in all 50 states, counselors, and providing a lot of telehealth has become like a big thing for counseling and mental health. And you definitely felt this need that students in particular needed some perspective. So let's walk through a little bit why mental health for students is very important in 2020.
Oh man, mental health, like just in itself, having a strong base of support in their academic lives, in our academic lives, is super big because we spend the majority of our time, you know, high schoolers and college students at these academic institutions. And so having a really good base of support is critical, and to maintain our mental health is critical.
And
I
mental health has definitely been lower in our generation than previous generations, given social media, given FOMO. That's like a big thing. We go on social media and we see everyone else's lives and we compare it to ours and we feel like we're missing out on things and creating all of the sadness in ourselves that isn't even like really real. Because who knows if that person in that party on that picture on Facebook is actually having a good time?
Social media is definitely a happy filter.
Yeah, particularly important, I would say, now for students to kind of have this conversation and particularly people in our generation to have this conversation because I think we're facing a lot more barriers to just being happy than before. There's so many more distractions nowadays.
And actually, in my research, after conducting interviews, not a lot of students went to counseling services because, you know, affordability or lack of access.
Access.
Yeah. or just the stigmatization around mental health. And I think there's a dramatic increase for students who would want to use mental health resources and counseling. So I think just like this Mind Matters book provides an opportunity to talk about mental health and talk about how we're feeling and kind of build those same feelings. So that was kind of like our intention throughout this. And we wanted to make this free because we feel like everyone can benefit from this.
Absolutely. This is not one of those things we need to approach from a very capitalist perspective. That's kind of how we ended up here in the first place, right?
Yes.
So, do you think people know that they have a mental health problem? Or do you think there's a lot of people out there that haven't quite even figured out yet that this is something that they need to take care of?
That is a really good question. 'Cause we see, the symptoms, feelings of tiredness, maybe anxiety in social settings, stuff like that, but maybe we don't characterize it or put a label on it. I know there's like 1 in 5 people have a mental illness, and it ranges from moderate to severe, right? I think a lot of backgrounds that people have, so they come from different socioeconomic backgrounds or cultures, they kind of brush off mental health because they feel like it's not, you shouldn't have a mental illness because you should just be fine. You should just brush it off, right? A lot of people feel like they're kind of sad, but they don't necessarily,
Have the base of support, as you said.
yes, they don't have the base of support and they don't want to reach out to people and say that they're feeling this way out of fear or rejection from their family or their community.
Definitely. That definitely resonates with my experience, particularly in POC communities. There's been a very big rejection from our previous generations towards mental health issues. It was literally like seen as a white person's problem, Like it was not sold to us that we could have issues like that because our parents immigrated from X, Y, and Z place to give us X, Y, and Z life. And we were just supposed to be grateful. And if you were sad about something, it would be like, well, why are you crying? Like you have no idea what we've been through. And I think there's this kind of hierarchy that exists too within these communities across generations of, well, how sad could you be? You have no idea what I went through growing up, right? And that's dangerous. That's dangerous.
Couldn't agree more.
So, and I know in Mind Matters, you guys specifically did a section for BIPOC, POC, so Black Indigenous People of Color. Why was that important that you guys included?
2020 definitely shed light onto the inequalities of mental health. So we felt like including this section, although we're not professionals, I cannot speak on the hardships or the trauma that these communities face. So we wanted to include it and we wanted to serve as an ally for them, but we definitely included in our subsection that we are by no means professionals. We wanted to reach out, but still have resources that those communities could go to.
I love that. I love that. And, as a person of color, and I've definitely had my fair share of mental health go arounds, particularly like after I came to college, because it is stressful and it is hard being a immigrant in this country sometimes and being an international student, and particularly somebody like me living in a place like Pocatello, Idaho, where what it's 90% white, like there's just it can be very alienating at the same time. And I definitely think this book and this resource is gonna help a lot of people like me who are kind of now coming into college, and even if they've already been in college, because I didn't have a resource like that was given to me when I came here. So if you're just joining us, this is Christoph Gesoon and you're listening to Navigating Diversity. I am here with guest Emma Watts, ISU freshman who this year co-authored the mental health guidebook, Mind Matters. So Emma, I have kind of a tricky question for you, and this is something I've been thinking about a lot. Given the COVID-19 pandemic, We have a lot of people who are in denial that the pandemic is real. We have people who think it's a hoax. We have people who are anti-maskers, right? Which is such a concept to me. Do you think this big denial is also part of this mental health story? Like, because what is going on in their mental health if they could believe these things and be so disconnected from the suffering of the rest of humanity? What do you think?
That's such an interesting concept, actually. A lot of 2020, I've thought in my head, you know, these people that think this pandemic is a hoax is basically saying ignorance is bliss, right? If I just don't think about it, then I just will be fine. I'll just brush it off. I think a lot of people, when they feel a certain way or deal through something, they just brush it off to the side. And then when it comes time and they confront it again, they just brush it off to the side. And I think, especially with September being Suicide Awareness Month, a lot of people just brush it off and they don't reach out to anyone.
Right. But if we try to educate themselves on the signs of suicide and how to cope and manage those situations, right?
They're like, oh, I'll just feel better later. I'll just feel better later. And then it gets to a point where it's just like, no, I'm not going to be okay. And I think that's kind of the beginning of when people feel suicidal. And that isn't okay. That makes me pretty sad.
Yeah. If you don't believe that suicide is a global epidemic or a pandemic, it literally is. We have the highest rates of suicide globally we've ever had. And I think a big part of that is people just don't feel seen. People don't feel heard. People don't feel validated. It's loneliness. It's this feeling of totally being disconnected from the rest of humanity. So I'm glad we're having this conversation too. And again, I think bringing it back to Mind Matters, I'm pretty sure you guys put a lot of coping strategies and things in there to kind of help people navigate that very complex space.
Yeah, we have a section actually for mindfulness apps as well. For me, meditation and doing yoga and journaling is very helpful in alleviating the stress and anxiety that I face due to, you know, work or school. And so I think when we provided those resources, it's really powerful.
When did you start your mindfulness practice? How did that get into your life? How did you feel drawn to it?
So I think it was my junior year of high school. I was very overwhelmed with SAT and ACT testing, AP courses, my various leadership roles in high school.
You were a busy girl. I did a little bit of research and you were busy.
Yes. And so finding some 2-hour period each week was really helpful in just decompressing everything that I was feeling. And again, journaling was really helpful. So at the beginning of my junior year was when it started. And then when COVID hit, senior year, I was pretty busy at it. I kind of got out of it, but then COVID hit. And that's where I kind of found my solitude again.
Because it's a nonlinear process and it's something you kind of have to put into practice. And I've definitely been there and I've fallen off like the mindfulness bandwagon and get so caught up and swept up in like what's happening in my life. But I went through the same thing in January. I came back from the Cayman Islands where I'd visited with my family for Christmas holidays. And I just knew that when I came back, I had to start meditating formally. I could feel like something this year was going to be different. And I had to start preparing my mind for the trauma that we're living through now. It's traumatic. So a lot of the research shows that the way we've been handling mental health is in almost like in a very prescription drug way, right? It's very much seen as a thing that we need to fix with medication. And I think medication is extremely important. People need it. But I do think there is a lot of value in mindfulness practices that can supplement those things and even help people who may not necessarily need medication. I don't think doctors need to be constantly prescribing like all these different things to any and everybody all the time. We can take time to be mindful. We can take time to journal, as you said. We can take time to connect with the people we love, right? To create a base of support.
And another thing I found that really helped me at the beginning of this pandemic was working out.
Ooh.
Releasing so many endorphins that was just building up. And I think if someone is feeling stressed or lower than normal, not depressed, but kind of sad, working out was super helpful for me and is continued because I've built that routine of journaling and working out.
That's good. You kind of have a comprehensive like mindfulness practice. You're kind of doing all these different things. And I think that's really when it's most effective. You're not just putting all your eggs into one basket and taking care of your whole body, your whole mind, your whole spirit.
And definitely eating right and sleep helps so much.
Very, very important. Just basic things human beings need to just feel
It's like
okay.
Maslow's hierarchy of needs. You have to have your mental health, your emotional health, your physical health all intact for you to build into these more complex parts of your life. So like getting that internship or going somewhere, like you have to have the basis to kind of function in your community and contribute.
I couldn't agree more. And if anything, the pandemic is a blessing in that regard because I think for the first time, it forced most of humanity, particularly our generation, to slow down. I feel like we were in like, and you know what I'm talking about, you in high school and even what you're doing now, I mean, co-authoring a book at your age, like, and such an important one, like, I feel like we grew up in a time where everybody kept telling us the more that we achieved and the faster that we achieved it, like, everything was gonna be okay. And we were just running to some destination that we don't even know what it is because every time we check another box, what do? We start another project to check another box. Instead of take time to be present and just like take 2 minutes just to process what happened to you. Just process that thing that you just came out of. It's okay.
People have asked me, like, is there going to be a Mind Matters 2? And I'm like, oh, is there going to be another pandemic that will allow me enough time to write another one? So, yeah, I definitely feel everything that you're saying.
Yeah, I think what I love about your story is that you're one of us. You're literally like a young person who grew up in this time that understands and sees these things because a lot of the times we associate mindfulness with just like older people, you know? People like Oprah and Deepak Chopra and our generation, you know? None of them are trying to like pay attention to those people, but I think hearing it come from somebody like you is very important for our generation to see themselves reflected in this narrative. So, do you think globally, we are waking up? Do you feel like there is the shift taking place, and this is a conversation more people are having?
It's hard. It's hard. I'm going to say that more resources like Mind Matters have come out. I think people are wanting to provide more resources to students. I hope that Mind Matters provides an opportunity for students and academic professionals to have sustainable interactions.
Yeah, I think it is. I think it is. Even just looking at the discourse within this country and in other countries and globally, even celebrities are talking about things like mindfulness and talking about mental health in ways that they never really like explored before. There's more media representation that captures mental health issues and things like addiction and things like suicide and you know, like Euphoria. Zendaya just won the Emmy for Best Actress, right? And she's what the youngest person to ever win that for her role in Euphoria and the second black woman since Viola Davis to win. And I don't know if you've seen Euphoria, but wow, just wow. It's such a accurate to me portrayal of what our lives are like as young millennials or Gen X or Gen Z. It kind of captures how traumatic life is for us in a whole new way. So I think there is this push. I think it's happening, and I think people are listening. So, Emma, do you have any anything you wanted to add to the conversation to maybe help people see mental health in a different way or understand why it's important?
Yeah, so again, Mind Matters is free. Our student support section or our teacher support section may be valuable to you or someone you know. Definitely go to Mind Matters book org to check it out. We have a testimonial page and a contact page for us, as well as a page to directly download the book from our website.
Perfect, perfect. And I hope that there is a Mind Matters too. Or I can't wait to see what other projects come out of you and your team. Can we take a second and just talk about your co-authors a little bit? Yeah, they put in real work too on this. They need their little halo.
Yeah, so Preeti and Eric are sophomores at Princeton University.
Mm-hmm. They're both people of color, is that right?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, Preeti more so worked on the BIPOC subsection.
Yeah.
And I worked more on the student section with the testimonials and gathering the research. So I was more like the outreach coordinator, but she focused on that as well as the teacher support section, as well as the overarching broad section for what mental health is to us and to other students. And then Eric, he is an amazing graphic designer. He included amazing graphics, and there's even an interactive portion where students, if they would like to read the student testimonials, where hopefully students can connect and see how they're feeling or how they felt during this pandemic. And he's just very innovative and creative.
Wow, sounds like a phenomenal team, and seems like you guys had a lot of synergy and were very much on the same page and had the same intention.
What's weird though is I've written a book with Eric, but I haven't seen him in person. We've conducted this whole thing via Zoom.
Wow.
Yeah. Isn't that so weird to think about?
And I feel like it almost makes the book even more authentic, because you guys are like having to write this book in the pandemic too. So everything you're writing is helping you.
Yes. Looking through the student testimonials, I found a lot of similarities between how I was feeling and how people in Nebraska or New York was feeling. And that kind of provided me a better headspace throughout this pandemic.
Wow. You know, I think what I'm getting from this conversation and from what I've seen so far about the work is it's helping us realize how similar we are.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Like our color, our gender, our
age, income, right? Those things do matter, but you can look around the room and even people who look nothing like you and have totally different backgrounds, like me and you, share these same feelings about the world. So again, it's kind of a very unifying kind of time for us, huh?
Yes, definitely, Christmas.
Wow. So Emma, my last question for you, and I know I said that before, but what gives you hope? What is just something that is just giving you hope today?
I think after our conversation, what gives me hope is people's ability to open up and look out and ask other people their insight, and bringing people in inside. So from the outskirts in gives me hope. That we will have more diverse perspectives in the future to combat our local and global issues that we currently face.
I love that. I love that. Bringing everybody from the outside on the inside. Yes, 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 yes. And well, thank you so much for this interview and for all the incredible work you're doing. And thank you to Eric Lin and Preeti Chimiti for their work and their service in putting this wonderful resource together. And I'm just excited. I'm excited to see what comes out of this for you. So,
yeah, and I just want to say to our listeners, I hope everyone staying safe and maintaining happiness and finding gratitude throughout this whole process that we're in.
Gratitude.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Take care. This is Christoph Kasoon, and you've been listening to Navigating Diversity. Emma Watts, ISU freshman who this year co-authored the mental health guidebook, Mind Matters, has been helping us navigate some of the big questions that help give all of this and all of our lives meaning. Join us next week at 7:30 p.m. on Tuesday as we continue to explore how human beings differ, yet can find ways to relate to one another in an increasingly xenophobic socio-political climate. For more information on all episodes, visit kisu.org/programs/navigatingdiversity.